Good morning and Merry Christmas. Before I came, I talked to Ruth on Skype, and then she attended a Thai-speaking church this morning, around 20 of them Christians, and only one can speak English, so the one helped her a little bit to understand what is going on in the church. It is our family's special experience, because when we were in Africa for 11 plus years, we didn't understand anything in the church for more than 11 years, besides when I was speaking. Otherwise, I don't understand what is going on. Of course, turn to what sing a song and then read some Bible verses, I can understand. Because they use different languages in our church, and then seldom use the language that I learned. So it was a very special experience. So I laughed at Ruth. I said, "Wow, again, you are doing this again, worshiping without knowing what is going on." And you know, but she is very serious. She said, "In this way, I can learn Thai faster." So pray for her. Thank you for praying for Emily and I, because since January we visited a lot of churches. We have good ministries, and also seen a lot of people showing interest in world mission, especially in reaching the Muslims. That is very encouraging, very encouraging. So next year I will focus on helping a few groups of people to targeting a, you know, each group targeting a people group and develop a more practical and workable strategy to reach the Muslim group, like Uyghur in China, or Hui people in China, or Malay in Malaysia. So it's a very challenging, and we believe that it's very, you know, practical and, you know, very important ministry. This morning, I look at the news on Sunday morning before I come to church. As a pastor or not, I get used to have a quick look on the world news. And this morning, again, the Boko Haram in east northeast of Nigeria killed a lot of people. Who are the Boko Haram? Boko Haram means Western education is evil. Okay, this is the term Boko Haram. Western education is evil. And who are they? They are Manga people. Who are the Manga people? That's the same people group. We work with them for 11 years, and we plant a church among them. We just felt like they are under a lot of persecution, a lot of difficulties, challenges. So Emily and I, we decide to go and visit them again. We will fly from here to Africa on February 1st and arriving there on the 2nd. So we hope we can spend some time with the church there and the friends there. Pray for us. It may be a risky trip because it's not very safe. On top of Ebola situation, but we felt like we need to go. So we are going there for 2 weeks, so please pray for us. The church there is growing, and the persecution is growing also. So we hope that we can pray for them. Just pray for the church, ask God to strengthen them, and not back down or be scared because of Boko Haram or whatever kind of persecution. It's not easy, especially when the Holy Spirit moved. Some people from the villages came to the Lord, and the Muslim become very kind of worry about, you know, the influence of the, you know, the Christian belief to their people. So if there is no result, nothing happened, no one come to the Lord, the Muslim will keep quiet. But if we have result, then they are going to do something. So SIM is moving missionary far away from the dangerous place. But we decide to go there for at least 2 weeks, and hopefully we can bring them encouragement. Let's pray before I continue my message. Pray for my trip, and pray for the Manga church there. So if you want to pray also, you can pray in your heart, okay? Let's pray together. Father God, we praise you because we know that Jesus came. He wants to save us. He wants to give us peace. And he wants to just help us to realize that how God loves us, and that God is with us, and we can work together with God. Lord, we just want to thank you. And in a very free country, we never realize how significant this is. But in the Muslim world, in Niger, among the Manga people, Lord, every day they work with you is a grace. It's a graceful thing. You know, they found that this is not, meant to be like that. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, they can work with the Lord. They can experience the salvation of Jesus Christ. And they can experience the peace from our Lord. So God, help us so that we can pray for them and ask the Lord you will strengthen them. And pray for Pastor Isa, and pray for some other co-workers, and pray for the Bible school students from the church, that you will just equip them and prepare them so that no matter what happens, they will serve you faithfully in that piece of land. And we pray for the Boko Haram, this radical group, that they really know that the meaning of Christmas, that is God came and shared the life with people, so that this people group will realize that there is a loving God and there is a hope there. They don't need to use violence to solve their problem. They can use the love of God and to live their life. So we ask that God, you will just be with us as we go to Africa to visit these people and visit this church, and ask that Lord, you will bring courage to us so that we can encourage them, we can strengthen the church there, and ask that God you go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you the good news of a great joy. I'm not sure what happened because when I was traveling in Asia, very busy speaking. Since end of October, God say, speak this message. Talk, you know, to your people about this message. And I ask God, what's the message? Because I'm not sure how you feel about when you read some books. Those books that you feel like that are really good. But whenever I read books, I try to understand the thinking pattern of the author. Not really just a story. So, two person influenced me a lot in the very, you know, recently. One is C.S. Lewis. When I read C.S. Lewis' book, one thing just stand up, you know, again and again, again and again. He put it very simple. The way he put it is, if it is true, believe it. If it is fact, it's true, you just believe it. He tried to argue the way he bring out the good news, like preaching to the non-believer. He repeat the same thing again and again. So, I just felt like Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and millions of people proved that is true. That Jesus really came, and then it's according to the Bible. From a history point of view, from a biblical point of view, that is true. And what is true is Jesus came as a savior. And a lot of people came to the Lord, including all of us here, I hope. We became Christian because we know that Jesus loved us, and it is true. So we believe in Jesus Christ. And we experience, you know, the peace, the joy from God. And we also, knowing that God is with us and blessing us. So since this is the truth, well, we become Christian because we accept that. But the second person irritates me sometimes. When I read his book, I love his book, but I just cannot stand his thinking pattern. But I know that his thinking pattern is correct. But as a pastor, I just felt like it's too much for me to handle that. The person is Philip Yancey. He always asks difficult questions. Always asks this difficult question. So what are the difficult questions? The difficult question is, you say, okay, we Christians say, Jesus is the Savior. Is it true? What happened to the Christian today? Are we saved? So he asked those difficult questions. What he means is, okay, God so loved the world, so anyone believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We are not going to perish. Which is true to every Christian. But does Savior only mean saving you and me so that we can go to heaven and not going to hell? So he starts asking difficult questions that may be very difficult. Because what happened? Maybe very difficult. As a pastor, I know. Once I tried to care for someone and talk to someone more and more, I found out something, and there's something that I may not have answered. This June, the Singapore churches organized a youth mission conference in Malaysia. So I was one of the speakers. One couple came from mainland China. They are Bible school students, seminary students. And then during that conference, they spent hours with me and sharing with me how God loved them, how they became Christians, how they, you know, learned how to serve the Lord with joy, and how they decide to commit themselves in full-time ministry. So that's why they went to seminary. So that was Malaysia, June. Then, end of June, I was in Singapore in another mission conference. They came to that mission conference again. You know, like last trip from late September to early December, I just came back. I preached 43 times. Preaching was one thing, but before preaching and after preaching, meeting with people, talking with people is very tiring. And this couple, end of June, at least 3 to 4 times, every time, quite a few hours, they came and talked to me. And they say, I heard you. I want to be your partner. I want to involve in reaching the Muslim people. So, you know, just help us how to prepare ourselves. So that spent hours and hours talking. So when they start talking, sharing about, you know, the joy of being Christian, the joy of serving the Lord, they experience the peace from God, and they experience the love from God, and they are more than happy to commit themselves to serve the Lord. Until the last night. The last night, I was very tiring. Every time after 70 days of ministry, sleeping on different beds, and then wake up not sure where you are, you know, and eating different kind of food, you just confuse your stomach a lot. You know, you're just not sure who are you going to speak to and what language. Sometimes Cantonese, sometimes English, sometimes Chinese. And then they realize that I'm Fu Chao, so they say, can you preach in Fu Chao? I mean, I was confused also. And that night, I was at the end of my trip, 70 days trip. I was in a hotel. They came, and they talk and talk and talk until 10, I say, maybe it's time you need to go. I need to pack. 3 a.m. I need to go to the airport. I need to check in 4 a.m. and then I need to board a plane at 6 a.m. and go back to America. And they said one more question. So they asked question. And I talked to them and talked to them. And suddenly the wife cried out so loud. I was scared. I was not really sure what happened. Because I was very tired. And I told them, you need to go back. So they're very, you know, obedient. They say, okay, we need to go. So I came back with a big question. Why she cried? I'm not sure why she cried. And this time, October, end of last Sunday of October, last weekend, October, I was preaching at a mission conference in Singapore. And this couple came again. They follow me. And then, on Monday, no, one of the day, the Bible school principal invited me for lunch at the Bible school. And then he announced it in the cafeteria, so let me introduce you, so and so. And this brother, he wasn't there. He was in the kitchen. And he heard about me. And then he quickly just served everybody and came out and said, can I talk to you? The principal said, okay, 10 minutes. And principal said, so 10 minutes. So he didn't say anything. And then end of November, there was the last mission conference before I came back. One of the speakers was his professor in the Bible seminary. And we were together and we were like having breakfast. I'm not sure why our conversation, you know, bring to this couple. And the pastor, the professor asked me, do you know that? That brother, it's really difficult for him and for her also, because he still beat his wife. And the professor said that this young man know that he shouldn't do that, but he's still beating his wife. And suddenly I realized, why she cry? Because under the cover of, okay, I'm saved, I am Christian, and then I enjoying, you know, the peace of God, you know, the love of God. But somehow, if you just peel up all those layers like the onion, you peel up one layer after another layer, then down in there, he realized that, no, I'm not really saved. Of course, I'm saved that I can go to heaven, but I'm not totally set free. I'm not, you know, delivered. I'm not saved from my temper. I'm not saved from who I am, my old man. I'm not saved. And I realized, that is why a lot of Christians, after a few years of enjoying following the Lord, becoming Christian and drift away. Because after they peel off the first layer of the onion, the second layer, the third layer, and they realize they need to face the reality. Okay? It's not a miracle because I believe in Jesus, so my temper, my character, everything changed. And purified and became sanctified. No. And they realized that going to church, okay, I just talk about the first layer and everything, okay. How are you? Good. I'm fine. You know, if you want to talk more, and people start to guard their heart, because they know that if you peel more, you talk more, then something came up. Something happened. And what are those things? What are those things? Why this young man? So nice. I thought, wow, wonderful if he can join me to reach out to the Muslim. And then he has his struggle. I realized that those struggles are normal. As a normal person, it's normal. We all face those kind of problems. We all face those kind of problems. Then I realized what happened. When I decided to go to Bible school, the church that I attend, we had around 500 people. It's a good sized church. But the church struggled with prayer meeting. Every time we have around 25 to 35 people from a 500 people church. Is it a lot? No, it's not. Then after a while, we had a new pastor came. And then the same church, the same group of people, every time the prayer meeting is more than 300. So I was told, so I say, well, I need to know what happened. So I attended the prayer meeting. I wasn't in that city, so I was, you know, happened that traveling to that city. So I attended the prayer meeting. And when I attended the prayer meeting, I say, wow, I know why. I know why. Because his prayer meeting is more charismatic style, okay? A lot of healing, a lot of deliverance. And I look at 300 people came to the prayer meeting. I said, wow, 300 out of 500, they need deliverance. They need healing. They are very hurt in many, many ways. Are they saved? Are they truly experienced the peace from God? What I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, let's face the reality. The reality is, as Christians, we start off knowing about Jesus and knowing that, you know, what Jesus said and what he promised is true. So we accept Jesus Christ. So we become Christian. And then we enjoy the peace and the togetherness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is with us. God is with us. So we enjoy our life. And then very quickly we realize that something that we need to change. Something we hope things won't happen like this. For example, the last Sunday I preached before I board the plane. It was November 30th. I was very tired. That Sunday. Very tired. I was sick after so many preaching. I was very tired. And as a pastor, as a preacher, one thing I never want to, you know, want it to happen is not sure when I start preaching. That means not sure when I need to stop. So there is no clock there. There is no clock. In the whole like century. So I start preaching and I didn't look at my watch. So after a while I don't know. Okay, should I stop now? Because looks like late. Very tired. And after the service, one sister, old sister, I think it's the grandma age, she came to me and she started talking about her health situation. You know, if you go around and preaching, a lot of people after the service will come saying, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because I'm not feeling well. Because my children, they are, you know, having problems. So pray for them. And then I start praying for her. And then start sharing with her. She said that I have a spinal cord problem and I cannot walk properly. And I think she is over 70 year of age. So I share with her, when I was 21 years old, I was admitted to the hospital because I was kind of paralyzed. The same problem in Hong Kong, when I was studying in Hong Kong. When I was very young, I fell down from high and hit on something, and until today, one of my spinal cord is very soft. So I was admitted to the hospital. So I start sharing with her. And after that she said, oh, I feel much better. I feel much better because you understand. And he said, she said, how do you survive? I mean, you know, 21 years old now is like, you know, almost 60 years old. Like, how can you survive? I didn't take medicine. Yeah. There's a lot of problems, a lot of things. As Christian, we ask ourselves, when Jesus came, he is a savior. What do we mean by savior? Only save us from going to hell, we can go to heaven? Does that mean that he can save us from all kinds of difficulties? All kinds of difficulties. I was very grateful for my parents. 2009, December, my father passed away very peacefully. He was in a very bad situation. I mean, he forgot. He forgot. How bad he forgot. He forgot to put on the clothing. And he started walking around. I mean, this is how bad he is. His life is very difficult. But one thing he never forget. He sings songs, praise the Lord. And that evening, during the dinner time, my mom, my younger brother, my elder brother, they were all in the dining room, you know, they were talking, and my father was eating in his own room, and everybody heard him sing, praise God, praise God. And then when they went in to collect, you know, the plate, you know, the cup, after he finished his meal, and they found out he already gone. And last week, my younger sister told me that around 1 a.m. last week, one of the nights, my mom told my sister, say, I'm asking Jesus to take me home. She is 88 years old, 11 years paralyzed, you know, so only moving around on a wheelchair or sleeping on a bed. That means her life is so difficult. But one thing's happening so amazingly. Recently, she starts singing a lot of songs praising God, which as children we never heard her singing. I mean, not she never sang, but we never heard her singing this kind of song in our own dialect. I mean, in our church, we never have this kind of song. But where it came from, where he started singing, she started singing this song. You see, even the life is so difficult. She hold on, hold on, hold on. And she knows that one day she is going there. Doesn't matter what happened. And that encouraged me a lot. Encouraged me a lot. So brothers and sisters, we, everyone, every Christian, we do have a honeymoon period of time. We enjoy Christian life. Then we enter into a time that we need to fight for. We need to stand firm. We need to really, you know, have, you know, really firm foundation for us to face the reality of our life in the days to come. Doesn't matter how old you are. This is coming. So I like what Paul said. Paul said he is running the race. A lot of Lamb family, they have a lot of, you know, at competition going on, like running or racing or whatever. Running! How are you going to win the race? Only one thing. Put one foot in front of another one. Another one. Just keep going. Keep going. No one will win the race if you refuse to put one foot in front of the other. No one will win the race. So that's what Paul said. Then I look at what Paul said. It's like the computer when you draw a line. Computer drawing a line is, the line itself is not a line, it's a dot. A lot of dots, when you put it so close together, they become a line. So I told myself, I say, no matter what, every day I put down a dot. Every day I spend time in prayer. I put down a dot. I pray. I put down time in reading the Bible. I put time, you know, to come before the Lord. Just put a dot there. Put a dot there. You don't, maybe you don't see the significance of that one dot. But if you don't put the dot for a day or two or three, then you realize that the line broke. Then you give the space for the Satan to attack you. Because you give room. You open the door. That's why John in chapter 15 talk about the grape tree and the branches. It's the connection. There is no space in there. You are not allowed to have any space there. Do you know what is the space? Okay, Emily, my sumu, shot herself with insulin every day, morning and night. And one thing is so important is when you have the insulin and you draw into the needle, you are not allowed to have bubble in between. Okay? You don't allow to bubble in between because they will cause you trouble. So when you inject yourself, you don't inject bubble into your blood system. You don't do that. Only one bubble can cause you problem. Only one small break, the continuity, just one small, tiny break will cause you problem. So that's why, as Christian, we go back to the very basic, so that we can build a strong foundation for our spiritual life, no matter what happens. Otherwise, a lot of people, they are not Christian. They start questioning Christian. You say Jesus came and saved you. Look at you. You cannot even save your marriage. You cannot even save your children. You cannot even save your own temper. We need to live out a real life to tell people saying that what Jesus said is true and that I'm living out. We need to be serious Christian. During Christmas time, two things we need to talk. One is what God has done for us. And the other thing is how we Christians take it as truth and live it out. If we are missing one of them, then we are telling the world a very different story. So brothers and sisters, Jesus never tell lie. But the world realized that what Jesus said may not be true because they don't see from those they say they are belong to Jesus. And they cause the problem. And they don't see Jesus. And they came up with the idea of Santa Claus. They don't see Jesus. And they know that this is a special time. It's a special thing. Special time. But they don't really know why. Because they cannot see from Christian. And they come up with some other thing. So it's time for us to be serious. Build our foundation. Live out the message of Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for all the promises through Christmas, the salvation, the peace in heart, God with us, the love of God. Lord, let the world realize that this is true through our life. We Christians, we need to live it out and prove it so that people can see us and glorify be to our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.